The U.S. Supreme Court is now deliberating whether it should amend or overrule its Quill opinion. That 1992 decision holds that Congress has the constitutional authority to regulate commerce among the states. And absent congressional action, states can't force businesses with no physical presence in the state to collect state sales taxes. South Dakota went before the U.S. Supreme Court last week to argue that Quill is outdated in light of changes in commerce since 1992. Attorney General Marty Jackley argued that small businesses within South Dakota's borders are facing unfair competition from online vendors. But Wayfair says the nature of small and mid-sized businesses has also evolved since Quill, and the marketplace is organically righting itself. Wayfair's lawyer says if Quill is overturned, small businesses that sell online will be priced out of competing. The Supreme Court made the audio public last Friday. SDPB's Victoria Wicks summarizes these arguments.
The U.S. Supreme Court is not a body of justices who quietly sit and listen. Well, Justice Clarence Thomas does, but the others can be quite vocal. And so Attorney General Marty Jackley had to wait until rebuttal to have his uninterrupted last word. He worked hard to get there, so we'll start with his closing thought.
Small businesses are not being treated fairly. We're not asking remote sellers to do anything that we're not already asking our small businesses to do in our state, and that is simply to collect and remit a tax.
Before he got to this point, Jackley faced a daunting flurry of interruptions from justices with a lot of questions not answered by the briefs. One of them was Stephen Breyer.
When I read your briefs, I thought absolutely right. And then I read through the other briefs and I thought absolutely right. And you cannot both be absolutely right. All right, so why is it? One, you have wildly different estimates of costs, revenues, and what states are losing or not.
Jackley directs him to estimates of revenue losses presented by the opposition, including government accounting office figures that Wayfair relied heavily on.
Use respondents' numbers. It's $100 billion over the next 10 years. Use respondents' activity. We know they collect in Wayfair collects in 22 states. They do this. In fact, Quill.com now collects in every state. So those numbers show that they do this. Use the GAO to show that, of course, you can do this. Companies do this every day.
Chief Justice John Roberts then turns that argument around. The fact that online companies are paying taxes also indicates that market realities are fixing the problem.
In terms of the economic impact, I mean, the suggestion in some of the briefs is that this is a problem that has peaked.
Roberts notes that the largest e-commerce companies now have a physical presence in all 50 states, a Quill requirement before states can exercise jurisdiction over vendors. Roberts tells Jackley those companies are already liable to collect sales taxes, and states are finding workarounds with those that aren't.
And if it is, in fact, a problem that is diminishing rather than expanding, why doesn't that suggest that there are greater significance to the arguments that we should leave Quill in place?
Mr. Chief Justice, because I think it's because of e-commerce. E-commerce is now 9% of the market, and it's rapidly growing. If you look at the numbers, it's been challenging for the states to collect on that e-commerce. The collection rate is as low as 40%.
Sure, e-commerce is expanding, and companies like Amazon account for a large part of that, but they're already collecting in all 50 states. And that's the problem. It's not that e-commerce is expanding. It is, from your point of view, I think the problem you have to address is that the coverage in terms of collecting the taxes is expanding as well.
Justices asked a lot of questions about retroactivity. If Quill is overturned and states can enforce their sales tax statutes, what's to stop them from going back to the inception of the law as a starting point for collection? Jackley says they won't because they say they won't, and South Dakota put that assurance in its statute.
The states don't want to address this retroactively, which is why South Dakota, illustrative of that, has indicated we're prospective only. In the briefing, 38 other states have indicated their laws would prevent retroactivity.
The South Dakota law is obviously a test case. You know, it was devised to present the most reasonable incarnation of this scheme.
Justice Samuel Alito notes that South Dakota's law doesn't govern what other states do. He directs his remarks to Malcolm Stewart, who represents the U.S. Solicitor General in support of South Dakota.
Do you have any doubt that states that are tottering on the edge of insolvency and municipalities, which may be in even worse position, have a strong incentive to grab everything they possibly can?
Stewart acknowledges that if Quill were overturned, states would not be required to follow South Dakota's lead.
I have no doubt that if the court issued that ruling, many states would adopt regimes that are less hospitable to retailers unless they were stopped from doing that by Congress.
But Stewart says if retroactive application causes constitutional problems, litigation can sort it out, and relief can take into consideration that vendors were not certain if they had a legal obligation to collect. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg asked Stewart a question. If the court overturns Quill, could the opinion specify that the ruling only applies going forward?
What is the government's position on the prospect of prospective overruling of Quill? Then we would have no retroactivity problem.
Stewart says the court has traditionally avoided prospective application of rulings.
The court's role is to interpret the Constitution, not to amend it. If the court says in June of this year that the Dormant Commerce Clause means X, it can't say that up until now the Dormant Commerce Clause meant something else.
Stewart says retailers are asking for more than status quo.
They are asking for the court to say that because if every other state adopted a regime that was a much more onerous variant of what South Dakota's statute does, South Dakota's statute must be invalid. That there's no basis in the court's Dormant Commerce Clause jurisprudence for holding that.
Is there any brief I can read or any source to determine what constitutes a small business in America?
Justice Sonia Sotomayor asked this question of Wayfair attorney George Isaacson.
I don't even have the answer to that, okay? The figures we were given was based on a small business.
Sotomayor refers to details in South Dakota's statute, which says an out-of-state business making fewer than 200 sales or less than $100,000 is exempt from collecting sales taxes. Isaacson responds that the situation is not as simple as that.
The figure of 200 transactions, I think, needs to be put into clear perspective. The average internet transaction is $84. So 200 transactions times $84 is less than $17,000. So it's not the $100,000 a year figure. And there are many internet sellers. For example, Etsy has 1.9 million participants on Etsy. And many of them are selling products that have only a $10 sales value. So 10 times 200 is $2,000.
Isaacson says there's no longer a clear divide between Main Street, mom and pop, brick and mortar vendors, and those who sell on the internet.
Currently, over 70% of all small businesses have a website, and by the end of 2018, it's estimated that 91% of small businesses will have a website. So the issue here is not between small in-state retailers and out-of-state direct marketers. The real competition is between the large companies who are omni-merchants, who are multi-channel merchants, who are increasingly dominating the internet.
Isaacson says the result of overturning Quill is antithetical to the Commerce Clause's purpose of creating a marketplace that is equally accessible to all.
If you increase the cost of admission, if you have barriers to entry, one of the inevitable effects is going to be that those small and medium-sized companies are going to be deterred, and there will be even greater concentration by the largest retailers.
Isaacson argues that paying for software and other costs of collection could wipe out profits for small businesses. Justice Elena Kagan says those small vendors might join up with one of the large omni-merchants like Amazon, eBay, and Etsy, who will take over the tax collection obligation for them.
Now, there's something a little bit ironic in saying the problem with Quill is that it benefited all these companies, so now we're going to overturn Quill so that we can benefit the exact same companies.
Justices will deliberate these issues as well as those raised in more than 60 amicus curiae briefs filed with the court prior to oral arguments. An opinion is expected before the end of June. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks.